What's the best guess of what Americans are paid?
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We'll have the global perspective on business and economics in a moment. But first, as President Obama embarks on his roadshow to ask, if not answer, what the economy can do for the middle class, what about the typical pay, median income in America? Reporter Gigi Duban has some numbers.
Emily Flaherty is a pet groomer at an animal hospital near Birmingham, Alabama. She makes about $15 an hour. What's left over after she pays the bills?
There's nothing. I've actually been using credit cards to get by.
Flaherty says she wants to get ahead, even for just a week, but it never happens.
I mean, I do not have internet. I do not have cable. I don't have any, I feel like I'm on Gilligan's Island sometimes. You have to make those choices to make ends meet.
Many Americans have a similar challenge. We're talking roofers, farm equipment mechanics, and dental assistants. They earn around the median wage. That's $16.71 an hour, according to the government.
That middle group is struggling and has been struggling.
Stephen Pressman teaches economics at Monmouth University. He says upward mobility has been a problem for years, and it will likely be years before middle-class Americans can climb the economic ladder again. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Two locomotives of the world economy seem to be pulling in opposite directions. China's factories continue to struggle. A new survey from the bank HSBC says manufacturing activity fell to an 11-month low this month. Meanwhile, there are signs of recovery in one of the world's biggest economic black spots, the Eurozone. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
It may be the height of summer in Europe, but economically speaking, it suddenly feels like spring. For the first time since January, economic activity expanded this month across the Eurozone as a whole. A major survey of businesses moved into positive territory. German manufacturing returned to growth, and French industry, while still in recession, hit a 17-month high. So the Eurozone nightmare is finally over. Not so fast, warns Marcel Alexandrovich of Jefferies Bank.
We get these sort of blips in the data, monthly indicators tick up and markets get excited and perhaps slightly get carried away. But fundamentally, Europe still has problems and a recovery is far from assured.
There's political instability in Portugal and Spain. Greece needs another bailout. And analysts say if China really slows down, Germany's exporting dynamo will lose momentum. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. After that poor showing for factories in China that Stephen was just talking about, the key stock index in Shanghai fell 0.5%, but the Hang Seng in Hong Kong rose 0.25%. The FTSE 100 index in London is up 0.7% right now, so is the DAX in Germany. The Dow rose 22 points yesterday, 0.1%. Stock index futures in the U.S. are up right now. There's apparently little hope that taxpayers will break even on the government's $50 billion bailout of General Motors. The government watchdog says that the U.S. Treasury would have to sell its GM stock for about $95 a share to get its money back. The shares closed Tuesday at $36 a share. Now, that's a big difference. The Special Inspector General for the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, says taxpayers are still $18 billion in the hole on the bailout, which GM needed to survive its bankruptcy restructuring in 2009. Since leaving bankruptcy, GM has earned about $17 billion. In exchange for the bailout, the government got GM stock. It's reduced its GM stake from 61% to 14% as of last month.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
We now know that Apple sold 31.2 million iPhones last quarter, and the stock is currently up 3.6% in pre-market trading. We love buying shiny things wrapped in transparent plastic, but what about consumption's dowdy cousin, savings? The pulse does not quicken the way it perhaps should. Adrian Hill at our sister program Marketplace Money has been looking into the latest on this. Morning, Adrian.
Good morning.
So, all right, what is the savings rate in the United States right now?
Well, it was about 3.2% in May, David, which is historically low. And it means that we're all sort of less prepared if we lose our job or something really bad happens.
Sure. And our saved money can't be used to invest in other companies and therefore jumpstart the economy that way. But why so low, do you think?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons it's so low. But one is that, you know, when you look at what checking accounts are paying these days in interest rates, it's not a lot. If it's anything at all, it's really hard to save and feel like you're doing the right thing with your money, even though you know you need to do it.
And another reason people perhaps don't save is, what do commercials tell you? What do billboards tell you? What do online ads tell you? They don't tell you to save.
No.
They tell you to
buy.
Consume.
Buy,
exactly.
Yes.
All right. So talk about some ways that people are trying to reverse the trend.
Well, there are a lot of interesting things happening at the local level around the country. And there's one group called Doorways to Dreams that's actually been working with credit unions in Michigan and now in some other states to create prize-linked savings accounts. And they basically work like lotteries for your savings account. So instead of me getting a little tiny percent of interest in my savings account, that interest is pooled and they pick a winner and voila, you get a lot more money.
That's so interesting. In other words, who even needs that wretched low interest rate?
Yeah.
All right. What else are people doing?
Well, there's also a program in San Francisco called Kindergarten to College. And the city started giving every kid enrolled in kindergarten a $50 college savings account. And then they have private partners actually kicking a little extra money if parents start contributing to that account as well.
So the account is established. It's there. It's begging to be contributed
yes.
to as the child grows. I see.
Absolutely. And it's set up in their name. And there's a study out there that says this makes a huge difference in whether or not kids actually go to college, because just having that savings account in your name sets all these expectations and aspirations.
All right. Adrienne Hill, Marketplace Money. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
And if there were a weekly Genius in Media Award, it might have to go to Britain's Guardian newspaper. They've put up a button on their UK website. If you choose to click this button, it makes their royal baby stories vanish like they never existed. It'd be awesome if there was also a virtual puff of smoke, like when you drag an icon off the dock on a Mac. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.